Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Steve Ekstrom, CEO and co-founder of the Tourism Academy, tourismacademy.org, with today's guest, Tammy Canavan, President and CEO, Visit Seattle. Now, Tammy and I just had a little chuckle before I hit the record button, and she has a question for me. So go ahead, Tammy.
Why are you in an RV in Mexico, and why will someone stop by to sell you an empanada?
This is my third year taking the winter in Mexico in my RV with my dog. I am in a charming little city, a half a block off from the city square. So it is not uncommon for a street vendor to come by and knock on the door and offer me empanadas or fresh fish that they caught that morning or whatever the case may be. And I got to tell you, the empanadas are actually really good.
Well, that totally makes sense.
And that's a way to my heart. You know, food is my love language.
Nice. Nice.
So how are you liking Seattle?
I love this city. Love it. It is aligned with my values. It is the weather I love more than anything. It is a vibrant city. It is exciting. I live right downtown. There's so many cool things to do and see. And I just, there's a lot to say about that.
What surprised you most about it?
I think what has surprised me most, you know, being 35-ish years in the DMO space. The delightful surprise here is that there are so many invested stakeholders that are concerned not just for what we're doing today, but what is the long-term outcome? What is the legacy that we leave for the community? And that is magical, really, really magical.
What would you like your legacy to be?
I would, there are a couple. I hope on a human level that I have had a positive effect on people's lives in some way or another. And that may be personal, it may be professional, but I hope that I am remembered as a kind and generous human. Work-wise, I hope that the communities that I've worked in, and this will be my intention is that this is the final stop on my tour before I retire, and just, you know, take advantage of the travels instead of promoting the travels, is that I have done something that makes a community better for the people that live in it.
What is one way you see your organization improving community today?
Wow. Well, you know, certainly economically, right? That's just a fact of life. When we have an $8 billion industry and that money is being infused and keeping alive the small businesses and enabling entrepreneurs to be brave and to follow their dreams and live their lives according to their rules instead of other people's, that is really empowering and exciting. But, you know, tourism as a whole is not about visitors. It's about community. It's about community development. It's about the legacy that it leaves. You know, things in Seattle, like the Space Needle, are a tourism legacy. The things that are going on in our waterfront right now, just creating these beautiful open spaces that are accessible to the public, are an incredible legacy. The events that come to the city that people enjoy. We had the MLB All-Stars here in the summertime. We've got NHL Winter Classic here on New Year's Day. Those kinds of things are just amazing things that wouldn't exist for our residents if the visitors couldn't help sustain that. And so that's when we have a part in that, that I think is our best contribution.
Do you find it challenging to show residents how tourism does improve their community?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm chuckling because that is the lifelong struggle, right? In we do resident sentiment studies and The biggest challenge is most of what we do is not here. It impacts here, but when we are doing marketing and we're telling the story of our community and we are inviting people to be here, that's all outside. So most of what we do, local residents don't get to see. And so it takes an extra special effort then to reach that resident base. And so, I went to the hair salon the other night, and she's new to me and I'm new to her. And she says, "Where do you work?" And I said, "I work at Visit Seattle." And she says, "Oh, that's cool." And then sort of asked me a bunch of questions that indicated to me that she has absolutely no clue what we do. And that's not unusual. But I said, it must be really neat to work in an industry. You're a hairstylist, where you say, "I'm a hairstylist," and everybody's like, "Okay, got it. I know exactly what you do." Whereas, for me, it's a 10-minute conversation. And talk to any DMO professional and we'll tell you that there is maybe 1 in 100 people in our personal sphere that think that we're something other than a travel agent. Or, gallivanting around the world, having a wonderful time, which is true. And also there's a purpose to that. And it's also grueling and really hard work. So I think, as we get all of us in the industry are working so much harder to make sure that our residents are aligned, that we are telling that story. It means including partners that our residents listen to a little bit more, the Downtown Seattle Association, the Chamber, the city, and integrating our stories with them so that there starts to become a much better baseline. But in general, I think that people's perceptions of tourism is very basic. They see visitors, they see cruise ships, they have their own opinions. And then so telling the deeper story is creating relationships with local media, doing op-eds, doing things that are helping people understand that one of the reasons why you have so much community pride is because of the work that we do here.
What is one thing that you learned in your own travels that you hope to replicate within your destination?
Ooh, that's a harder one. in my own travels, I think it's a reinforcement. It's not necessarily, it's something that we talk about a lot. And that is, what is the sense of place and welcome? What does that really mean? When you live in a place and you are welcoming people and you go through formal customer service training and all those things, there is a version of what welcoming is. And as you mature in your life and you travel a little bit more, and there are some things that become barriers to travel, or maybe you have aging loved ones or loved ones that or friends or people in your sphere that travel is harder. They might be visually impaired. They may be mobility impaired. They may be there's just this big range of things that make travel harder. Welcoming takes on a whole different perspective, right? And so I think my perception of welcoming, the older I get, the more I travel, one word in your own language in a place where nobody is speaking your language is just this big, huge flood of relief because you've been trying so hard to integrate into a community. And so think about that when people don't speak English and they come here and they're struggling. Oh my gosh, if you can even just offer a couple of words and people see that you're recognizing that they're trying and you're trying too, that connection and that sense of welcoming is so much deeper. And it doesn't have to be monumental things. It's the little things that we do that make a place that much more welcoming because we're just putting ourselves in our visitors' shoes a little bit better.
What advice would you have for people who are getting started in their careers, maybe in tourism, but they're not quite sure where they're going to go? They just know that, they want to somehow be involved in travel and travel experiences.
Yeah, so many facets, right? I love talking to college students that are embarking on this journey, and everybody wants to be an event planner, and you probably don't. It's really hard. there are so many things to do in the industry. It's such a broad thing, right? Anything from transportation and working in the airline industry to working in the hotel industry to restaurants to services and destination management companies. One of the coolest things about working at a DMO is that we get exposed to all of those things. And, you know, part of the magic of that is that we get to work with all of those different elements. It's not just sort of one thing that we're focused on. We get to really work with this broad spectrum of incredible professionals that really lean into human connection and what that means. So I think I would say to people coming in, that there are some things that you need to know about the tourism industry. And one of those things is this is not a job. This is a lifestyle. This is a way of life for those of us that stick in it. And that means that sometimes it's grueling and it's really hard. It means that you're going to go on trips overseas and your stuff's not going to arrive and you're going to wash your socks in a sink for 7 days. It means that you're not going to get a lot of sleep. You're going to suffer from jet lag. There's a lot of things there, but there's also all of the wonderful things. So it's not as glamorous as one might think. When I started in the industry, I wanted to work in the hotel industry because I had I'm of an age where, hospitality was glamorized. There was the Love Boat and there was Fantasy Island and there was, you know, hotel. And I pictured myself at the front desk of a hotel welcoming people from all over the world. And wouldn't that be really incredible? And it turns out that is not glamorous. That is a really hard job. So don't be disillusioned by the first time you get somewhere and you think it was going to be one thing and it's something else, but find your space where you are going to be impassioned about it, because it takes a lot of passion to be and remain in this industry. It is an incredible place of opportunities because you don't necessarily have to be, you don't have to have a PhD in whatever to work in this industry. It is possible to work your way through and have a journey in this industry. I started out, my first job was a dishwasher in a hotel. I started out in the DMO space as a reservation agent. I am now a CEO. And so there's just so much opportunity to explore where are your strengths and what is it that makes you really excited to go to your job and to do what you're doing. I just called it a job. Technically we get paid for it and therefore it is. But it really is something special. And I think the other really magical thing about our industry is that there is no shortage of people, myself included, that want to welcome new people to the industry. So we might not know you're there, but when you reach out, we will answer you. And so, you know, if you're curious about something, reach out to someone that you find in the industry that is representing that sector of it and ask them for a coffee interview, just an informational interview. 95% of us will find the time to grant that and to share our experience and help you find your way. And that doesn't really exist in all sectors in all industries. And so, be choiceful about it. And I think I would just also say when a door opens, don't be afraid to walk through it. Just because you haven't done it before doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just means you haven't done it before. And so there are so many opportunities. Seek them out. Take some chances, embrace the opportunities that are there, and know that there's always someone there that's going to cheer you on or help pull you through.
When you think about who was your cheerleader and who pulled you through, who comes to mind?
Oh my gosh, I've been so blessed with so many people in my life that have just been and continue to be an inspiration. So I think the first person in my life like that was Rick Antonsen. He to this day is still that guy. He was my CEO when I was at Tourism Vancouver, starting way back in 1989. So I've known him for a really long time. And when I worked with him for 10 years. And in those In my total 11 years at Tourism Vancouver, I had 10 titles. So he had he gave me the opportunities to work in different facets of the DMO and encouraged me and just has always been that person that has made himself available whenever I need advice. He has been that person that sends me a note, and when he sees my name somewhere or something that we've done or accomplished, and has always been there. Moira Gast in Irving, Texas is number two. I got to know her a little after, but remains one of my very dearest friends, and has always been that person that has cheered me on and encouraged me and pulled me in and included me and gotten into trouble with me. And I hope that, you know, at some point we'll wind up in the same care home doing silly things. That commercial of the senior ladies watching kids sled down the hill, and then she goes and she buys the cushions and she takes her friends and they go sledding. That's Maura and me. So she has provided references. She's given me opportunities. She's opened doors for me, and also been one of my dearest friends. And there are just so many other people that have been incredibly generous and lovely. Those two stick out.
Funny story. Maura and I got together and chatted not too long ago, and I'm like, I remember when you were a sales manager or sales director somewhere, and we were both schlepping profile sheets at a trade show 20 something years ago.
That's awesome.
I know, and you know, and it's funny because, you know, even though we didn't chat too much in the interim, you know, like you, I find myself sitting at the same table with the CEOs today. And you know, I started washing dishes in a restaurant and waiting tables, and then they needed a sales manager, and then this, that, and the other thing.
Yep.
And it was serendipitous, you know, to fall into something that I really do love and I do enjoy. And it's great to hear that from somebody else. What do you find to be the most challenging aspect of your work?
Boy, there's lots of them. I think here's the hardest part, and this is just in the DNA of DMO people, is that there are more opportunities to do amazing things than there is capacity to do them. And so I think we are a breed of people that have a really hard time saying no. And yet those boundaries are incredibly important, because we also want to make sure that what we're doing, we do well. And so I think that probably is the hardest part, not only managing myself in that, because, oh wow, there's so many cool things to do. And then you look at the your ability to execute against those, and you're like, at some point I'm going to need to sleep and pay attention to family and other things like that. But it's also, you know, in the position of leadership, where you don't want to dampen anybody's spirits or their enthusiasm, and also help them keep themselves in check, because we can't have our teams burning themselves out because there are so many other things that we really, I mean, you want to do them. And it's being choiceful. And you know, obviously there are decision-making tools that help us do that. It needs to be connected to the mission. What is the point? What is the outcome? There's just such an abundance of things that fit into those pockets, that it can be really hard to just manage your time. And that's an ongoing journey for me. I continue to be like, oh, overcommitted. Now I got to deliver and learn something next time, because every once in a while you need a weekend off. It's good.
Two of my favorite quotes both have to do with learning. And I am a proud nerd, and I'm surrounded by geeks and dorks and people that play in the alumni band and, you know, all this stuff. One is Maya Angelou, and it's, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better.
Yeah.
The other one is Nelson Mandela, and it is, I never lose. I either win or I learn. And I have found that passion for learning is instilled in those who travel. And I also see it in people like you. And you just mentioned it, you know, and you know, when you face something challenging, you learn from it. What is something you want to learn now?
I think I want to continue on the path I'm on, and that is to continue to learn how to continue to evolve as a leader, to be someone who inspires people in one way or another. And by that, I mean that, you know, that might be an inspiration of confidence, or that might be an inspiration to learn something or to try something that they wouldn't usually do, or to do whatever it is that helps them follow their dreams, to give them permission to be human and to prioritize their families and the things that are important in life. Because as much as this is a way of life, this is not our life. It, you know, our families are the parts that make us whole. And while this is very fulfilling, it is easy to get caught up in that and forget that the humans that enable us to do this and that inspire us at home, whether that's our kids or our spouses or our pets, or those aren't humans, but the other facets of our life are really important. And you know, sometimes we can get really caught up in all the things that need to be done in the space of our work, and being really cognizant of that other element that helps us bring our best selves to our work is really important too. So prioritizing that is good. So I think that is just an ongoing journey. Leadership is an ongoing journey. As we get more personalities in our lives and more generations that have different learnings and different things that that they grow up with, it's just important, I think, to continue to focus on listening and learning from others. So I don't know that it's a specific thing. I think it is continuing to just try and be a better person and a better leader and a better friend and a better support person for those around us.
What's something you don't say often enough to the people around you?
No. I think that there's that. I think what do I not say often enough to the people around me? I don't think that you can ever say I love you enough, or I appreciate you enough, or I'm proud of you enough. I try and do that as often as possible. And also, I'm a momentum driven person, so I can sometimes forget that part. So I think things like how are you doing? And how is your family? And, you know, are there things that I can do to help lighten your burden? Those are things that we can never say enough. It's been a really cool conversation. Thank you. But what, you know, you mentioned that you knew Maura back in the day doing PR and trade shows, and what inspired you to take on this journey? There are a number of podcasters out there and different, you're approaching this in a very different way, which I really appreciate. This is very sort of personal, and that's kind of my jam. So what is it that made you want to do this, and how do you make that work as a supporting force in your life?
So there are a couple factors that led me to starting the podcast. Number one, and not too dissimilar from you, you know, it has been a long, winding road to the position of a CEO in a nonprofit organization that is widely recognized. And in getting to that point, I recognize that I need to be the dumbest person in the room. And I need to be a sponge, and I need to learn from others. And I can't possibly be the only person in that situation who is desperate to learn from people who know what they're doing and who have been there and who have that experience. So in many ways, the podcast has been a learning experience for me. You know, I've been able to talk and have, you know, 20-minute one-on-ones with 100, 200 or so CEOs. And that has been a tremendous learning experience. Being able to share that with others is tremendously rewarding. Robert Heinlein wrote, "When one teaches, two learn." And, you know, I hold that dear. I am fascinated by people's stories. And the industry has identified a need for workforce development, and the industry has identified a need for leadership or leadership pipeline. And the way to get there is to show people that there are opportunities and there are lots of different paths to get there. You know, out of, let's say, 200 interviews, I think there have only been two that ever said they wanted to work. They knew they wanted to work for a DMO when they were younger.
Yeah.
Every other one of us stepped in this.
Right.
And some of us have washed our shoes since. But you know, that's what really inspired me to get the podcast going. What inspired me for the learning component was a realization almost 10 years ago that most of the training and education that we got in the industry was pretty terrible. It was monotone and singular format, and you know, it just didn't meet the needs of learners. And you know, working with an instructional designer and organizational psychologists and you know, people who have more letters after their name than I have in mine, I learned that it can be transformative. And you know, if there's a better way to do things, do it. And if nobody else is doing it, you know, why not? And, you know, to some degree, I had been consulting with destinations leading up to COVID. And this education thing had been a back burner project and lots of trials and tribulations and testing and, you know, what would work? And, well, COVID struck and it was an opportunity. You know, it was an opportunity to take what had been a back burner project and bring it forward. And, you know, to see that we're now making a tremendous difference is huge. You know, we have students in dozens of countries, 15,000 logging in every week. We're teaching everything from sustainable microeconomics and business development around UNESCO World Heritage sites to English for tourism in the developing areas in Saudi Arabia and, you know, the essentials of customer service and creating vibrant welcomes, you know, in small towns and cities throughout North America. So, you know, I mean, it's nice to be able to make a difference. And I think, you know, when you see that, you know, when you see a family walking through town and experiencing something that was designed for visitors, you know, you can't help but smile. You know, and not everybody has a chance to make a difference.
Fact.
And I consider myself very lucky to be in a position where I hopefully can. And there's a responsibility that goes with that too.
Yes. Yes. There is. My other question for you is what do you think you don't say enough to the people around you?
Let's spend some quality time together.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I'm really good about not ending any call or conversation without sharing my appreciation for the other person. But to show quality time for others, that's a gift. And, you know, and I think of the example that we're having right now and that, you know, you and I have now been on the line together for about half an hour. How many people get that opportunity?
Yeah, for sure.
And I am tremendously grateful for it. So thank you for sharing your time with me.
Thank you.
And giving me a chance to learn from you. And I can't wait to visit.
Cool.
Park my van somewhere.
We prefer that you stay in a hotel, but
that could be arranged. I've parked my van in front of hotels and stayed inside. So this is not unusual for me.
That would be our preference. Well, when you're on your way, you let us know. We'll connect you with some of the cool things. It is a beautiful, beautiful place here in the Pacific Northwest.
Fantastic. If folks want to learn more, plan a visit to Seattle.
Visit seattle.org. Thank you so much.